Welcome to And With Your Spirit, a homily podcast that takes preaching out of the sanctuary and moves it into your daily life. Let us make ourselves open to the voice of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we might be transformed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
The Lord be with you. A special welcome to our candidates and catechumens, their families, and their sponsors here this morning to join the role of the elect, those who have been chosen by the Lord and by the church to join our parish family here this coming Easter. So a special welcome to you. And that rite of election will follow immediately after the homily. So maybe I'll try to keep the homily a little bit short today because we got that extra thing on there. But either way, it's a beautiful day to celebrate our church continuing to grow. What a blessing. The times where we have failed to live in the love of Christ, let us call to mind our sins and ask the Lord to forgive us. The readings this weekend are really rich. We could talk about any of the three and get more than a 10-minute homily out. Luckily for you, I will only talk about one, mostly. The gospel reading this weekend shows us the temptation of Jesus in the desert, Matthew chapter 4, after he's been baptized. So Jesus now knows who he is in his fullness, and the people who were there when John baptized also got to see it. And immediately, that's the first word, immediately Jesus was driven into the desert where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. In the desert, this is, by the way, that's one of the biggest understatements in the gospel, anywhere in Scripture. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. You fasted on Ash Wednesday, right? Wasn't that enough? He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. Duh. Of course he's hungry. He's probably thirsty and tired and wants to go home too. But on that day, we see what happens to him is the devil comes along and tries to trick him or tempt him in three ways. And we see Jesus' three responses to the devil's temptation. So how does the devil work? Well, here's part of it. The first temptation is the devil comes to Jesus and says, you're hungry, right? The base level, human thing, like you need or want this, you can have it. Right? It won't hurt anything. In fact, all you want is a little bit of bread. Like he says, change these stones into bread and eat because you just fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Notice the devil, he starts off subtly. He doesn't come along and tell Jesus, like, turn these stones into steaks from St. Elmo's in Indianapolis. He doesn't say turn this scorpion into a DQ blizzard, you know? Just bread, like, it's not even fancy. And Jesus already knows that those little bitty temptations are often the ones that open the door to everything else. You know, that one theologian said that the devil doesn't try to like break down the door. He just tries to wedge a crack in it. That's all he wants to do. And you know what this is like. I do too. You sit down and you're a little bored or lonely at your house. And so you flip on the television and you might go to a streaming service. And as you're going to the streaming service and looking at the episodes or movies you've seen before, you've seen little trailers for as they come up as you go through, and you see one that's got a little bit of content that, well, you know what I'm talking about. And you're like, well, if I watch it, it won't have that many bad scenes. Or I'm mature enough to not let that bother me. Yeah, you are, right? And your kids are too. No. We know what it's like when the devil comes along and just tries to get us a little bit in there. The other night, a couple weeks ago, I was playing cards with my mom and my brother. And my little brother, Blake, is the luckiest card player I know. My grandma was, and now she's passed. So Blake is now taking the crown, okay? And we're playing a three-handed clabber, TMI. Anyway, so Blake is getting all of these wonderful hands, and I'm not getting anything. And they're sticking me with calling the suit, and I'm just losing terribly every time. And Blake's like, you know, you should have played that. And I was like, don't you tell me what I should have played. I should have played good cards, which you have in your hand, so shut up, right? We're playing cards as a family. Who cares? I do, you know? He just tries to wedge in there just a little bit, just enough to say, go ahead and blow off some steam. Go ahead and have one more drink. Go ahead and say that one thing about that person they'll never know. He tries to slide in just a little bit, and if he does, he blows the door wide open eventually. But Jesus, his response to the devil's first temptation, is to quote Scripture. Jesus uses the weapon of knowledge of God's word, which is living and effective. It strikes more truly than a two-edged sword. Like, it's going to work. Jesus uses scripture against the devil, and the devil stops. It works. Do you know the Bible? It's a weapon. The rosary is a weapon. Good works are a weapon. Fasting is a weapon. Charity is a weapon. Use those against the devil's temptations. So if you're sitting down to watch the streaming service and you come across something, call someone who needs a phone call. That'll change things for you, for example. All right, second temptation. Then the devil doesn't leave, because the devil's never going to leave you, by the way. Then he goes to Jesus a second time and says, takes him to the top of the temple, which is the holiest building in the whole world in Jesus' time. Takes him to the top of the temple and says, you know that you're the Son of God and that God is going to care for you. Go ahead and fall down, jump off, and the angels will come and save you. In fact, the scriptures say so. What does the devil do now? He takes the thing that Jesus used against him and turns it back on him. Do you know the devil knows the Bible? Do you know that? The devil's the greatest created angel of all of the angels, greater than St. Michael, greater than St. Gabriel, who went to Mary and brought the message of good news. The devil knows scripture. Do you? He's going to use everything he can against us and even try to make us doubt what we know to be factual. He goes to Jesus and says, if you fall down, the angels are going to get you. You know the Bible. You helped write it. And Jesus returns to him and says, Jesus' tactic this time is not to fight back, it's to ignore him. You know you're not supposed to put the Lord your God to the test. Meh, forget it. I'm not going to listen to you this time. Ignore him. That's a great tactic. Devil's tempting you with something? Move on. Go to something else. Busy yourself with something that's productive or at least not bad. The devil can flee. Third one, now if those two don't work, temptation toward pleasure, temptation toward pride. The third one he tries to tempt him toward is power. I think this is the worst one for Southwest Indiana Germans, is power. We want to control everything, don't we? No, Father. My wife does, though, doesn't she? Yeah. No, we all do. We want to have total control, like in all ways. So the devil takes Jesus up to the top of a mountain and shows him all of the world, the whole world, not just there, the whole world, and says, if you simply worship me, you can have it all. It's all yours. And this, I think, is the great temptation for us. It's the one that shows up in Eden, too. The devil says, if you eat that fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, you'll know everything because you'll be like God. Don't you want to be like God? We think the same thing. I want to buy this because if I have it, I'll be more like God. I want to say this thing about this person or strike in this way or just rest in this way because I'll be more like God. If I can just get X or do Y, then I'll finally become in control of my whole life. When God says, you don't need it, trust me, have faith. That tree, you don't need that one. Eat everything. I've given you everything else that you need. You don't need anything else. And the devil says, no. You'd be happier if you had more power. And so this time, Jesus, his tactic is not to fight or to flee. It's to remind the devil of what he and all of us are supposed to do. He says, it is written, the Lord is God, he alone shall you serve. And the devil walks away willingly at that point. Because the reason the devil cannot be in heaven is because he has already said, I will not serve. That's when he fell. He reminds the devil of his own place, Jesus's, and all of us our place too. So, as you confront temptation in the season of Lent and outside of it, as you attempt to live a holy life as Christ calls us to, know the devil's tactics and use Jesus's against him. And ultimately, the first one, the weapons, the second one, ignoring, but ultimately the last one. Devil, I'm serving the Lord. He won't have any response at all, and he'll flee like he did from the Lord too.